ladies. What a great, great thought there. Just believe him. And that's why we're here this morning, because the Word of God is what we want to believe. And we're going to hear it this morning. And Brother Darrell Murphy, of course, is no stranger to First Baptist Church. This is his home church, this church that God spoke to his parents' heart and where they got saved. And, of course, Darrell as well and his family. And we're just delighted to have him back home. And I told him here yesterday, he's the easiest evangelist that I have to make preparations for, because he's already got a place to stay. He's already taken care of his wife, Lois, of course, right back here. And we appreciate so much Brother Murphy and his faithfulness. And you don't realize, by the way, what a privilege it is to have an evangelist that's actually part of the ministry of our church. And not many churches can actually say that they actually have somebody who's going out and preaching evangelistic revival meetings throughout the year. I believe you said about 30 weeks of the year he's out, and he'll tell you a little bit about that, but we're just so thankful that he's back home. And let's open up our hearts, and let's have God speak to us at this time, and let's give a warm welcome this morning to evangelist Darrell Murphy.
All right. Thank you, preacher. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's always a blessing to be able to come back and preach, you know, revival, my home church. And I've been, you know, standing in the on-deck circle now for quite some time. And how many know what I'm talking about? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Amen. But anyways, I'm excited about revival. I'm excited about the opportunity to be able to preach revival. And here in my home church, and I always am thankful for this church and the ministry and the impact that it's had in my life, my family. And, you know, God just did a great work in our hearts and bringing my mom and dad and then bringing us along here and allowing us to get saved. And we praise the Lord for that, as the pastor was saying. And I've been out preaching several revivals already this year. We've seen over 200 people saved, and you know, that's fruit that abounds to your account according to the Word of God. And have a part in that. Of course, you support us and help us and all the different things, and we're so thankful for it. Praise the Lord. There's still a church that believes in revival. Amen. And believes in revival, having times of revival. And our country was founded on revival. And we've gotten away from revival, and that's why America's gotten so far away from God. And, you know, we're not having revival like we used to have. But, praise the Lord, there's still some churches that believe in revival. And it was just, common experience to go a week, a Sunday, Friday. I preached a lot of revivals from Monday to Sunday. I preached revivals from Sunday to Sunday to Wednesday. But today, that doesn't seem to be happening. To go a whole week, that's a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And that's what we need. Amen. We need church. We need church. We need preaching. And if we're going to accomplish anything for the Lord and bring honor and glory to the Lord with our lives, we've got to have church and preaching in our hearts. A church that is designated and dedicated to bring honor and glory to God, the God of the Bible. Amen? There's a lot of churches that have meetings. You know, they'll have concerts and conferences and all sorts of different things, but they won't have revival. They won't have revival. But thank the Lord. And this is a blessing. And we see the condition that our country is in today. And never before have you seen such hatred. Are you with me? Hatred, division, disgust, disdain. And, you know, if there's ever a time that we as God's people need to get on fire for God, it's today. We need to stop messing around. It's time to take the gloves off. It's time to start serving God and living for God and giving God every aspect, area, every avenue, every ounce, every drop of our life to the cause of Christ, because that's what counts in the end. Amen. Pastor Johnson always would say it. Brother Clear preaches it. You know, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And, you know, we heard it how many times? And so I believe it's the revivals that this church has had that God has used to strengthen it, to allow it to stay, not to remove the ancient landmark, to be able to still proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and to believe in the commitments and the standards and the old King James Bible, and want to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what living for God is all about, honoring God. And God looked down from heaven and saw his son Jesus, said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. And that's the way God wants to see us. In the soul revival time, and we need to pray and we need to do all that we can, and so that God can manifest his power and presence in our life. Now I'm going to read some verse out of 1 Samuel chapter number 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 7. And so, you know, I spoke in a pastor's Sunday school class in this morning tonight, and then five nights, and then two chapel services, and for the high school, then one in elementary. And so I believe that's about 12 sermons. I was never really good in math, you know. I've got one of my old teachers from high school sitting down here, Marshall Kilson. She was one of my teachers back then when I was a senior in high school. I think she was doing student training, teaching. She was just out of college. I mean, just done with college. Now the last step in going on and is to student teach. And who was one of her students? Me. And so we broke her in right, amen? And she survived that. She could survive anything on the mission field. I said, Miss Kittleson, I cut my finger. I need to go get a Band-Aid. She said, okay, go down to the office, get a Band-Aid. And I went down to the office, get a Band-Aid, and the person behind the counter made a mistake of giving me the whole box of Band-Aids. And I didn't put one Band-Aid on. I took every Band-Aid out of that box and put it on my body. I had a Band-Aid across my head. Right, I had Band-Aids everywhere, up my arms, you know, and Band-Aids everywhere. So I came walking back in class, you know, and she's looking at all these Band-Aids. And I said, yeah, I had a terrible accident on the way to the office. And I had to get all fixed up. But praise the Lord, amen. And so here we are, several years later. The Band-Aid Bandit. Now the evangelist. That's not odd, that's God. Amen. That's the Lord. And the Lord get a hold of anybody. Get a hold of me. Daryl Murphy get a hold of anybody. Isn't that right, Marcia? I mean, that's a fact, neighbor. And so praise the Lord for the opportunity and to serve the Lord in God's goodness and mercy. And so I'll preach all of that. And we don't want those things to go for naught. Amen. There's got to be something happen. You know, you take all the time, expense, and efforts, and to have revival. And there's never a good time to have revival. You have revival, and by faith, knowing that God is going to work in our hearts, in our lives. And so, you know, we need to pray, and revival is something that just needs to happen and to get things, back where they're supposed to be in America, in our schools today. And I went to the elementary school back in the 60s, and I had a teacher, my fifth grade teacher. He was a male, and he would pray before class. This was in Minnesota. Minneapolis. And look how far we've come today. Look how far we've come today. It got to the place where, listen, Christians can't send their kids to the public school anymore. We got to have our own school. We start a school. Thank God for the vision. Pastor Johnson and Brother Clear carrying it on. 49 years, celebrating the Christian school. So we see where we're at today. We need revival. And even in the hearts of God's people. And revival is just allowing the Spirit of God to morph, to manifest His Spirit in your life. It causes you to be more like the Savior. Your mind is more clear, and you're thinking more clearly, and you're focused about the things that God wants you to do with your life, with your family, your relationship, your children. Amen. And getting the right type of priorities. But here in this passage of Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 7, and it was kind of interesting to me as I read down through this passage, and even the title talks about the revival at Mizpah. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And so you see the situation that the children of Israel are in. And they're there. They're without the ark, and there's a lot of trouble going on, a situation, a lot of panic and worry and anxiety and frustration and fear and lamenting, complaining and bellyache and griping. Why? Because the ark was gone. It had been gone for several years now, and it caused a great disturbance in the lives of God's people. And it's the same type of situation that we see in our countries and in our homes today. And how that the ark that represented the power of God. That's what the ark represented, the power of God. And you had the ark, you went into battle, you had the power of God, you had the victory and the presence of God. And it manifested the presence of God. They knew that God was, when they had the ark, they knew God was there. Amen. I mean, that's what it symbolized. It symbolized God and all the things that pertain to the God that Israel knew that had brought their forefathers out of bondage, across the desert, and through all the trials. And now, here they are coming across the Red Sea, across the Jordan, and allowing them to go into the Promised Land. That was the God that ark represented. Amen. And now, it brought comfort, it brought cheer, but now the ark was gone. The ark's gone. Nowhere to be found. And we see that in society today. And the ark was a sign of God's provision and God's promise and God's power upon those that made much of that ark. But now the ark was gone, and now it caused a great lamenting, lamentation. It caused a great sorrow in people's hearts. In other words, they were in the dark without the ark. Amen. They were in the dark. And that's where a lot of people are at today. That's where America's at today. America's in the dark. And you know that when you're in the dark, nothing good happens in the dark. Nothing good happens in the dark. I remember when my wife and I, we were traveling for the college, and they put us in a house down in Shreveport, Louisiana, and we were down there staying in this guy's house, and he put us down in the basement, and he had it set up there, and it had a bed and a bathroom and a little kitchenette and all of that. And so around 2 o'clock in the morning, I had to use the restroom. I got up, I started walking, and I went to put the light on, but the thing was burnt out, and so I had to kind of feel my way, but it's unfamiliar. I had to stay in there one night and feel my way to get to that bathroom. I'm in the dark and have no idea what's going on, where I'm going. I'm just hoping that I'm headed in the right direction. All of a sudden, I start feeling things squeeze between my toes. Walking along, squishing between my toes like, I don't know, stepping on something. And they didn't have a cat. They didn't have a dog, so it wasn't that. Thank God, amen. But I finally got where I needed to be, the bathroom, and I turned the light on, and there were all these little slugs, these big, long slugs, these little snails that, you know, abandoned their shells. Snailish shells on the march. And I was stepping on them, and all through my toes, and you can just imagine, you know, what was going on there. I couldn't see. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you're stepping. You're in the dark. Who's with me? We know the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Why do we need revival? Too many people walking in the dark. In society, we see how far they've gotten away from the things of God. They don't want anything to do with the ark. Amen. They want anything to do with the things of God. So as a result, we see that the decisions that have been made, the laws, the legislation, and all of the things outside of the principles and precepts of God's word take this country in a terrible direction. Morally, the idolatry and the wickedness, and we see it abounding everywhere. Why? We're in the dark without the ark. Amen. And Christian people today that are walking in the dark. Walking in the dark. God never intended for Christians to walk in the dark, but there's Christians. The ark of God needs to be so preeminent in our lives. It provides a light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. It's a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword. And we need to have that ark. We need to have that God and the word of God in church and maintain a right relationship walking in the light. Amen. We need revival because people today are in the dark. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble. They don't even know what they're tripping over. And listen, decisions that are made in the dark will always be decisions that are not in connection with God's will for your life. They were in the dark without the ark. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. And so we need to be that light that God has designated for us to be. But how can we be the light when God's people today are trying to live their lives and go through their daily activities without the ark, without the Bible, without the prayer, without the faithfulness that God wants to have in going to church? We are in the dark, neighbor, when we don't emphasize and make much of the ark, God's power, God's presence, God's provision that he wants to pour out and give us the revival that we need to have. Amen. What differentiates America from all other countries is we were founded on the Bible. And when you're founded on the Bible and you get saved, you have an element of benevolence. Who's with me? That's why we've given money to all these countries to try to help them. Cuba doesn't give money out to help people. Who's with me? Mexico doesn't give money out to help people. Help these other countries. Why? The spirit of blood. Our country was founded on the Bible. And it was a day when we made much of the ark and we had prayer in school and we read the Bible in school. But today, society, they have taken away the ark. It's been gone for quite some time now and it's caused a great disturbance. People are miserable. Amen. People are miserable because they're walking in the dark. They're walking in the dark. Bible says that we ought to be the light of the world. Jesus even said, I am the light of the world. Walk in the light, have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. We need to determine to get that light, make much of that light, and come out of that dark place where you've been existing that has brought nothing but pain, sorrow, irritation in your life. Amen. Revival is God's people coming out of the dark. Coming out. Get back in the light. Start, making much of the ark and the things of God in your heart and in your life. They're in a terrible spiritual condition. And so is our country. And so is many of our churches and many of our homes. Well, what happened? Here they are. They're just lamenting. They're crying. They're belly aching. They're complaining. And along comes the prophet of God. Amen. And so Samuel spake unto them and said, listen, here's what you need to do. You want revival. You want to see the victory. You want to have the relationship with God that you're supposed to have and not continue to dwell in that place of darkness. He said, you need to, verse number 3, he said, and he spake unto all the house in Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts. That's revival. Amen. We got to get back to God. We got to get back to God. Come back to God. And return the Lord with all your hearts. And all your hearts, all your life, all your time. Who's with me? All your time, all your money, all your effort, all your talents. And return unto the Lord with all of your heart. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your might. Amen. Do we really love him that way? If we don't, we're in the dark. And you start making decisions in the dark. This is the direction I want to go. In the dark. A lot of Christians live their life in such a way, it's like a guy driving his car down the road at midnight and decides to turn his headlights off and tries to get home in the dark without headlights. What do you think is going to happen? That's what's happening in Christianity. Christians driving around with no headlights on. And what happens? Oh, we have struggles and we have problems and things and we wonder how in the world. And the man of God said, put away the strange gods. You need to return unto the Lord with all your heart. Now put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. Who's with me? So many distractions today. So many things. So many things distracting people today. What a shame. What a shame. And thank God for the folks that we have here today. But, this will be the biggest crowd for revival. Because we don't love the Lord with all of our hearts. We haven't come back to God all the way. We still got one foot in that place of darkness. Say amen right there, even if it kills you. But the Bible said, serve him only. What are you serving? You need to get that stuff. And you're serving things you should be investing your time in. And all your money and your struggles and the division that it causes. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam, Astaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel, Mizpah. Now I will pray unto you. And they gathered together. Amen. And to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. They had revival. Amen. Yes, they were in this place of darkness for a while. But after they were willing to obey the man of God. They were brought out of that place. Amen. We want to serve God and have the revival that God wants to have. There must be a willingness to repent. Amen. Repent. Turning away from the things that hindered you and those gods of Astaroth and Balaam and those things, and turning away from those things and turning back to God. And the simplest explanation is repentance is just turning away and turning back to God. Amen. Unless we're willing to turn, unless we're willing to repent, turn from your wicked ways. You're not going to have revival in your heart, in your life. You're going to continue in that condition, that lamentable, discouraged, sorrowful type of condition that is there to a person that's existing in the dark. Come back to God. America needs to come back to God. Christians need to repent. That means that simply change. It's a change. Amen. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Who's with me? So it's true of revival. Amen. We've had so many revivals here. Has anything changed? Has anything changed? Anything? Same old, same old. I mean, revival is about change. Revival is about people getting right with God, people making decisions, people coming up here and standing up and professing Christ and confessing Christ and saying, yes, I was away, but now I'm back, and I want you to know I'm going to serve God just like I did March the 14th, 1982. I stood behind this pulpit and said, I repent. And there was a change in the life of Daryl Murphy. It's all about change. Amen. You got to change some things up. Why don't you park in a different spot? Why don't you sit in a different seat? Why don't you come to the altar when the invitation is given? Why don't you change some things up? Just see how that happens. I've been standing here for all these years, you know, and haven't come forward. I'm going to change some things up today. I'm going to come forward. I'm going to get on the altar. I'm going to pray. Why don't you change? That's repentance. We can't have it. That's what Samuel said. You want to come out of darkness, you got to change some things up. There needs to be some changes in our homes, changes in our attitudes. That's real revival. Do we want revival? Do we really want revival? There must be that willingness to repent from our way of thinking. It may not be a sinful way, but it's a stagnant. Aren't you tired of just being stagnant and stale and just going through the motions? You need a change, neighbor. Repent. Repent. The Bible says, repent, or you shall all likewise perish. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, listen, Israel, they repented. They fell in humiliation. They drew water and poured it out before the Lord, signifying their humiliation and their sorrow for that sin that they were committing in that place of darkness. They poured out their hearts in repentance to God. Amen. Nothing changes. We've got to have something change. Now, when Daryl Murphy got right with God, things changed. Brother Clear was here. You know, we heard a testimony. Elmer Clear. I mean, he got to say things changed. He got in a church of revival. Things changed. But today, we're just content. Same old, same old. Same old, same old. When's the last time you've been to the altar? When's the last time you've been out soul winning? When's the last time you've been out visiting? When's the last time? Why don't you change it up? Why don't you repent? Amen. And so you need to repent of those ideas and those ways and that type of thinking. There has to be that consciousness, that willingness to I'm gonna change it. Yes. And that's what Samuel said. Return. Change your thinking. Change your attitude. Change your actions. It's easy just to get caught in a rut. And so there has to be that repentance. There has to be that element of readiness to prepare. You know, a lot of times I believe the Lord doesn't give us revival because we're not ready for it. It's like your kid may be 18 years old, but they're not ready to drive. Who's with me? You know, why don't I get a driver's license? You're not ready. My son Kyle and Seth, when they were little, they always wanted to sit in my lap and steer. Then they got to the point where they wanted to drive. 10-year-old kid wanted to drive. You're not ready. Amen. And God looks at First Baptist Church of Rosemont, they're having revival. They're not ready. They haven't prepared themselves. They have not prepared themselves. I used to work for John Kingsbury. He was a member of this church for many, many years. Him and his wife tried to have a kid for a long time. We used to have devotions in his room where he worked there, in his kind of his den where he had his books and everything. And they've been praying for years to have a child. And then I would pray with them. One day we went in there, and it was no longer his den. It was a nursery. It's a crib. It was a changing table. It was ducks and bunnies on the wall. I said, hey, congratulations. Your wife must be pregnant. Nope, she's not. I said, what's all this? He said, we're just getting ready. We're getting ready. We're making preparations. And when God saw the preparedness, he gave him a child. Amen. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we seeking God? That's when we'll have revival. When you determine to get ready for it. You've got to make the right type of commitment and preparation to really experience the power of God. We come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday. We're not prepared for the message. That's why we leave the same old stale condition. Do we really prepare our hearts? We really want to seek revival? Oh, Liz, they were in the dark. They were in the dark. Amen. Without the ark. How long are we going to continue to exist in the dark? Trying to get things done in the dark. Trying to build something in the dark. You imagine trying to put something together in the dark? I mean, you got parts going everywhere. So there's got to be that commitment to readiness, a spirit. Repentance, and then we've got to determine and resolve in our hearts that we are going to have and seek the Lord and serve the Lord only. You got to resolve to do it. Serve the Lord only. It's got to be a resolve in your life. I'm resolved. I'm resolved no longer to linger. I'm resolved. I'm not going to follow the world. I'm resolved. I'm going to follow God. When I got right with God, I resolved in my heart to serve God. And now all these years later, he still allowed me to preach the gospel. That's got to be a testimony to somebody. Amen. What do you think my mom and dad think when they see their son up here preaching? Rather than sitting in jail. Huh? What about that? And why? I mean, listen, God tells us coming, they go to their grave. They're going to go to their grave knowing that their son was resolved to serve the Lord. Amen. Revival. We can't have it. We're in the dark without the ark. And how can a person claim to be in the be a Christian and continue in the dark? Amen. You know, that was one of the plagues that came on the children of Israel. You remember that? All that darkness. I mean, it was total darkness. I mean, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. He stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all of Egypt. 3 days, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. You know, when you're in the dark, you don't want to get up for church. 3 days. But the Bible says there that, but the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, you sit up on a hill, You look down in Egypt, total darkness, but there's those little lights. And what do they represent? Christians. Now we know where the Christians are. We can get to that light. Amen. But most Christians are in the dark. They're in the dark. They make decisions in the dark. That's why they don't come to church. They don't come to revival. They don't tithe. Don't give. Don't sell out. Don't serve the Lord with all your heart. There has to be an element of resolve. There has to be this readiness, this preparedness to seek the Lord and to return, repent. Are you in the dark? Oh, let's determine to change some things up. Let's just change some things up. Some things need to change at First Baptist Church. Things need to change. Just going to go through the same old rut. And people today are just eventually, you know, will drop out. They just continue to walk in the dark to the point where you just don't care anymore. Don't allow yourself to be in the dark without the ark. Father, thank you for your love. Take the message. Help us to recognize the truth of it. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that's in darkness, as far as their salvation, that they'll come to the light. Lord, other Christians that are in darkness today and just going through the same old thing, help us to repent. Help us to get ready. Help us to resolve, dear God, as Samuel told the children of Israel, you want victory over those people. You want the ark back. This is what you need to do. I pray that your people, dear God, will have a desire to do it. I pray they'll come and we'll pray and we'll resolve in our hearts to serve you and you only. Give us the revival, dear God, that you want us to have. Help us, dear Lord, to show you that, yes, we are ready. We are prepared. And the ground, Lord, we've dug up the fallow ground. And now, Lord, the seed can be planted and the stalk can grow and the fruit, dear God, can be harvested for your honor and for your glory. Give us that revival, dear God, please. And the First Baptist Church is desperate need of revival. Help us, dear Lord, to be willing to come out of that darkness, come into that light, have the revival that you want us to have. And Lord, we'll always be quick to give you the honor and the glory for it.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.